Feed All Arizona Daily Download.
The top five local stories of the day.
Now. Five.
Your phone is blowing up.
Yeah, that's because robocalls are on the rise in Arizona. I got to tell you, my phone gets a robocall or three or five or six every single day.
And they've doubled since last year.
This do not call list,
it doesn't work.
It do not work.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Right.
Mark Bernovich, AG, what are you doing about this?
What we're doing is we're looking at the number of complaints we get, and then we're cross-referencing them on the national do not call list to see if there are companies that are habitually and systematically violating the do not call list, and we're going after them.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a couple of times where a company has gotten nailed.
Yeah, one company paid $1 million in civil penalties.
There was a company in April that paid $350,000 in civil penalties for violating the do not call list. But it doesn't matter because I don't know if this stuff works, but it has to work.
And you brought
because
up,
they make money.
Well, you brought up too that it happens so often. Am I going to call Bernovich's office every single time for every single call? I mean, again, I'd be calling six or seven times a day.
So now I just don't answer the phone. If the name doesn't pop up, you know, nobody. When you see your phone, it'll say mom, or it'll
or the doctor's office, or whatever. Yeah.
My smoking hot wife.
Is that how you have her listed in your contacts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I take that phone call.
Four.
Lunch is on Fitz.
Oh, shut up, Mac.
Oh, God.
Did you hear that?
What?
Lunch is on Fitz.
Yes, I heard that too.
Yes. Number 11 is buying lunch for everybody today. Larry Fitzgerald is helping a man who was diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Joe is 79 years old. He's been diagnosed with terminal cancer. He and his wife, Tina, actually opened the restaurant on McDonald and Granite Reef back in 1977. And after 42 years of loving the lunch crowd, now Larry's showing some love for them. Fitz and teammates DJ Foster and Christian Kirk are planning to stop by and thank patrons for their donations.
Now, what radio station does DJ Foster work for?
I think it's the Jammin' Oldies station.
Is it a Jammin' Oldies
Maybe?
Station?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, Fitzgerald, again, will say it. He's just one of the nicest guys. He's down to earth. Yep, he's a star athlete. Yep, he's a millionaire. Yeah, he could buy anything and travel anywhere.
All right,
he's just a good guy.
Question.
Yes.
Are they giving out food, or can you order what you want? Like, is Larry Fitzgerald paying for cheese sandwiches here
no.
between noon and 5, or can you order what you want?
You can
order. And then are you expected to tip?
You can order what you want. Fitzgerald pays the bill, but you can also give
donate
to this gentleman's hospital bills.
Okay,
because he does have terminal cancer.
Three.
The number three story on the All Arizona Daily Download: Cubs fans take over Chase Field.
This was an embarrassment. I mean, our teams in Arizona are an embarrassment. The Cardinals are 0-2. They're miserable. They're three. You know. They're 0-2.
Yeah, they're 0-2.
Diamondbacks yesterday hosting Chicago. And the guy who does the play-by-play for the Cubs?
We have seen a lot of Cub-friendly road crowds, but I'm not sure we've seen one like this.
So that's Chase Field.
That sounds like Wrigley.
It's Wrigley West.
Yeah.
This is remarkable.
These are all Cubs fans at Chase Field. Wow.
Man, I don't know. I just don't understand where this team is going right now.
Oh, I do.
They were doing really well. But what, in the last 2 weeks, they have dropped to not even a wild card spot now.
What was the last holiday we had? Labor Day?
Labor Day.
Since Labor Day, they've crapped the bed.
Yeah, last 2 weeks.
Was that 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Their bullpen can't get an out anymore.
Mm.
They're most likely out of the race. And it's just a sad way to end the season. They're getting bombed by everybody, and now the fans aren't showing up.
Right.
And then the Cubs fans show up. That is a knife in the side for Diamondbacks.
It is.
It's really embarrassing.
Two.
Does 4 hours make a difference on the border?
Well, some people would say yes. The Border Strike Force, which was started in 2015, and DPS said, we will patrol the back roads and the side roads along the border used by smugglers. Mm-hmm. We'll do it 24 hours a day, but that doesn't happen. They usually get to about 20 hours a day, and guess what? Smugglers have noticed the lack of patrols when and where the DPS officers are patrolling, and of course, they have shifted their criminal activities in order to get through these. They're not border crossings. These are, you know, back roads, places where people aren't really supposed to be.
Mm. So 4 hours does matter.
It seems to, yeah.
I think if you're going to say you're going to have 24-hour coverage,
right,
you have to have 24-hour coverage because, you know, the first 20 hours, if these criminals are smart, and it looks like they are, we won't do anything for that 20 hours. We'll wait for the four.
Right. Right.
We'll wait for the 4 hours where the border isn't patrolled by DPS.
And you've got, you know, a lot of money spent on this, $82 million so far, and one border sheriff, in a letter to lawmakers, complained about his deputies having to consistently cover for DPS at certain times of the day.
Well,
that costs him money.
What's the deal with the 4 hours? Have they run out of money? Are they trying to do it on the cheap? Do they not know that, well, everybody's kind of smuggling all that stuff in
That's
during the four
question.
That you're gone?
Mm-hmm.
One.
McSally and Sinema want an investigation.
Yeah, the candidates for the two, or the two candidates, I should say, for Jeff Flake's seat, Kyrsten Sinema and Martha McSally, they have actually said, we support an investigation into the sexual assault accusation of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh.
What else are you supposed to say?
Exactly.
Are you supposed to take sides?
And especially if you're a woman. Are you really going to say, as a woman, mm-hmm. no, we don't need to hear from her. Nah, I'm good. That you can't can't say that.
Or the other side, she's right, I'm against Kavanaugh. Because we just don't know.
Well, I don't know if Martha McSally would actually come out that far and say that.
Well, they haven't.
Right.
So my point is, what else are you supposed to do but listen to the investigation? This thing has turned into a mess. I don't know if Kavanaugh's lying. I don't know if the woman is lying. It seems that there were only three people in the room when she says she was assaulted by Kavanaugh
right.
and in high school, and she did get away. And one of Kavanaugh's buddies was there watching and laughing.
And now he's refusing to talk. He says, I have no comment, and I don't recall anything. Don't even answer.
Well, that's a comment. Does he not recall anything? Yes
right.
or no?
No, he doesn't recall anything, and he's not going to comment. He doesn't want to be asked. He doesn't want to be dragged into this at all. He says, I don't remember a thing.
Mm.
I don't even know if it happened.
The All Arizona Daily Download. The top five local stories of the day with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The All Arizona Daily Download brought to you by Inspire Sleep. If CPAP isn't working for you, learn about Inspire. It's a revolutionary treatment for sleep apnea with no mask, no hose, and no noise. Go to inspiresleep.com today.
All right. Who should we trust to tell the truth? Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh or his accuser? That's in a minute.
Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Is Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court in jeopardy?
Well, we have a sexual assault allegation against Trump's Supreme Court nominee. We've got his story. He says he did nothing. He completely says he didn't do any of this stuff. And then we've got a woman who has held on to this story for a very long time.
Since high school.
And now she is coming out saying, yes, this did happen. I think we're all in kind of the same boat. I don't know what happened.
Right. And how's this going to affect testimony? Because supposedly the woman is supposed to tell her story Monday. Kavanaugh's supposed to testify Monday as well. Let's talk to Rick Klein, ABC News political director in D.C. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Hey, great to be with you.
Rick, should Trump pull Kavanaugh and make a new pick, make the whole thing go away? Is that a move that he should make?
Well, there's a political argument for that, but I think there's another argument you could make that says that, first of all, that would be basically admitting guilt on Kavanaugh's part and not something he's inclined to do. And secondly, you'd be showing weakness at a perilous political moment. I think the fact is we just don't know what happened. We
right.
know what she has said publicly. We know what he has said publicly in very clipped ways. There's a hearing that's been scheduled for Monday. It's unclear if it's going to happen, if she's going to participate in it or not. But this is not an easy one. I've been talking to a lot of people, Democrats and Republicans, in the last couple of days, and unless you're in the room, you don't really know what happened. I think what people can agree on now is that she deserves to have her side of the story told. He deserves to have his side told. Ultimately, it'll come down to credibility. I don't know how we're going to know more than that, other than the two sides talking about it.
Rick, I think if it was like a Hollywood film, they'd take the guy off the film. Like, you know, with the Me Too movement,
yeah.
If it was a director or somebody, they'd replace the director.
You might be right. You might be right, but you know what it is right now is one woman talking. It's impossible to know. You might be right. I don't know that though. I don't.
There's also a level of, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but with Cosby, there became multiple accusations. With Weinstein, there was multiple accusations. If another woman comes forward,
he's done.
I think he's done. But so far, it's this one woman. And now, Rick, people don't know if this woman's actually going to show up on Monday. What do you know about that?
Well, there's a big to-do about whether this is the right forum for her or not. And right now, one thing Democrats are trying to argue for is other witnesses. They want to see the friend that was allegedly with Kavanaugh at the time testify as well. Maybe the psychologist that she talked to about this. Other people involved in it. And their argument is if you want to actually know about this, you should really be talking to everyone involved. They want the FBI to investigate it. Clearly, that's not going to happen. So I don't know where that leaves things going into the Jewish holiday tomorrow. I don't know that it's going to be settled by the end of the week.
What I just don't understand. We're talking with Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Why do you want to get the FBI involved? Why would I understand why this woman wouldn't come forward? But you know what? Your name is out there now. You've made these accusations. I guess what I'm asking is, did they do a poor job of vetting him? I mean, is this a surprise? Is this a total surprise inside the Beltway of holy crap? Nobody could have predicted this. Or did once again the Trump administration just didn't dot their I's, cross their T's,
or they knew
and
about
they
it.
Overlooked, or they didn't think it would come out, right?
Well, you know, this is an interesting one. We don't know that anyone knew about this in positions of power. She has never spoken publicly before about this. She's never used his name publicly before. If this was an open secret, I didn't know about it. Maybe other people did. Maybe it was out there and they thought they could combat it. Certainly they got wind of it and started putting together the women that testified on his behalf.
Who got wind of it, though?
Senate Republicans, I think, via the White House. I think once this got referred to the FBI, that's going to go to the Trump White House, obviously. So that's why they were able to be a little bit ready. But I don't think they knew about this months ago. I truly don't. And so I don't think it's a question of vetting. I think on a certain level, you have to expect that any nominee is going to have everything come out about him or her. And
yeah, but
you really shouldn't be surprised. But it's not like they were. It's not like this was in the public record that you could have Googled Brett Kavanaugh and found this even. This is not out there. The FBI had done multiple background checks on him before. He had been confirmed to other positions before, and this never came up.
But I guess, and I'm not trying to dismiss the woman. I'm not trying to dismiss or say that it never happened. And we've talked about this for the past couple of days. Of all the things to be accused of under this president, it has the element of sex again. I mean, it's just, you cannot make this stuff up. I mean, Rick, it's just unbelievable that once again, we have sexual assault in the Me Too era under the Trump administration. It's not about his taxes. It's not about where he stands under Roe v. Wade or he belongs to some secret society. It's sex again with this president.
I mean, you can go back to the Clinton presidency and find a lot of that as well. I actually think you're right that you can't really separate this from the times that we're in. And you can't look at this independent of the Me Too movement. I think this is a big test in the Me Too movement. I think it's all involved with what we've learned in Me Too. And it's almost like you can't have any discussion about someone in public life without this coming up. And it is almost surprising when it doesn't come up now. But yeah, there's no doubt the politics around this are particularly fraught when President Trump is involved. I think that if things are just different then, and he brings that upon himself. I don't think there's a question in my mind about that either.
We're talking to Rick Klein, ABC News, sexual assault allegations against Brett Kavanaugh, the gentleman that Donald Trump says he wants to be the next Supreme Court justice. Rick, what do you think will happen in the end? Do you think Kavanaugh survives the process, or will Trump actually have to go and pick a new nominee?
Until we hear from the accuser, I think the default is going to be that he can be confirmed. And the reason is that it's very simple. Who has the votes? They've got the votes. They're going to have the votes. The votes aren't going to change between now and the time of the final vote. So,
but Republicans can say, you know what, we don't know what happened with this guy. So go pick somebody else, and we'll vote for that guy or gal. I mean, why can't they do that?
But doing this now, 7 weeks before the election, that is a tough timeline. Remember, it's very easily possible that Democrats are going to pick up seats in the Senate. They may even control the Senate, which makes things much more difficult. Mitch McConnell wants this to be done. He wants Brett Kavanaugh on the court. I don't think anything has changed in his mind, even though you can argue politically that maybe the best thing would be to pull this right now. I also think the president again today was kind of talking about this on a human level as a tragedy around Brett Kavanaugh. And, you know, look, if he didn't do this, then it is a tragedy that he's being accused of it. And if that is his perspective on this, and that is his contention that he didn't know anything about this, until we hear from him and her both, I don't know that anyone's going to be able to make a judgment. Okay. It's just not going to be clear.
Okay. Knowing that, what do we need to hear from her? What are we expecting to hear from him that could possibly either disqualify him, change people's minds, or something like that? What does she need to say, or what circumstance does she need to say it in, do you think?
Gosh, I don't know.
Is it specifics? Is it the performance? Or is it this happened, then this happened, and this happened, and I clearly recall this, and this happening in this order?
I think it's going to come down to credibility, however you define that. I really think there's not another way to think about this other than just on a gut personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to believe it or not?
Right.
I don't think unless she's got another witness or something, and she has said there were no other witnesses, unless there's some kind of documentary evidence of this, some other real time thing, it's just going to come down to credibility and however you judge that as a human being. And honestly, whatever we think of it, it's about what United States senators think of it. And the 51 Republicans, and particularly the few who have said this is important to them.
Are the Democrats trying to stall this and use this
like as a nuclear option kind of thing? Like this is the only shot we have to get past the November election kind of thing?
Are they using this to stall and then try and win the Senate and then basically not let any Trump appointee go in?
I mean, that's a pretty craven thing to think about. But
it's politics, Rick.
Republicans are just saying, look at the sequence of events here. And look at how things have played out. Why didn't this come up over 2 days or 4 days of testimony, I believe, all week? Why didn't they come up under any of the private?
The Democrats supposedly knew weeks ago.
Well, exactly. So why didn't it do that? Now, I think Dianne Feinstein has said she respected the request for anonymity from the accuser, and that's what was governing this. But certainly it looks suspicious if you're willing to think that politics, my gosh, could be in play here. I don't think we can ascribe that motivation based on what we know right now. I think we're in the middle of a very uncertain storyline. You know, this is not one where I can safely predict this is how it's going to end. This could go in a lot of different directions.
Rick Klein, ABC News political director in D.C. Rick, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
And the other part of it is, you know, if this ever did happen, if this incident happened, there were three people in the room in high school.
Correct.
It was Kavanaugh and his buddy.
Right.
And it was this woman. And the buddy says, I'm not saying nothing anymore. I'm not opening my mouth.
Don't ask. And I don't remember any of this happening.
Yeah.
And I think he also said, I don't remember Kavanaugh like this, described like this ever.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Keep our eye on it. Coming up next, lunch is on Larry Fitzgerald all day long. We'll explain why next.
Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News 92.3 FM. Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News 92.3 FM.
We all know what a great guy Larry Fitzgerald is. He doesn't have to prove it, right?
Well, he could put me on his softball team.
Yeah, he could.
That
would be a charity event. That's
it's
sure.
Not charity. Oh, I'd help him win.
It would be.
All right.
But today, Larry Fitzgerald is paying for your lunch at a Scottsdale deli.
Buying lunch for everybody.
And he's helping the owner in his cancer battle. And right now, let's talk to Allie Vetner, KTAR News reporter, who is down at that deli right now near Granite Reef. And Allie, are we talking about you can order anything you want for lunch and Larry will pay for it, or is it just like a cheese sandwich on like white bread?
No, I'm seeing people walk out with bags of food. I'm not saying that everybody gets 12 sandwiches, but I mean, you're getting a sandwich and potato salad and a cannoli and a drink, and everybody here is just happy. They're not annoyed waiting in this long line as it's 100 something degrees outside.
Right.
But everyone is just in such good spirits, and it honestly, I just haven't stopped smiling being out here. It's been awesome.
So I'll have a roast beef.
Yeah, can you bring something back?
I'll have mine on rye. I like a little bit of mayonnaise. Not a lot.
You know, I'm...
No good?
Not in this heat.
I'm not trying to brag here, but I did get to sit down and talk to Joe, who is the sweetest man, battling terminal cancer, just happy as can be. He gave me a hug and a cannoli. So.
You got a cannoli?
I got a cannoli.
Well, why can't I order a roast beef sandwich then?
I might say Mac and Gatos, and they might kick me out.
That's probably true. Allie Vetner's joining us. Larry Fitzgerald's buying everybody lunch, and he's doing it to help a 79-year-old man who's got terminal cancer. A ton of people are showing up. Allie, what if a Seahawks fan shows up? Does that guy get a free lunch? Because I don't think that would be wrong. He should be booted.
I have yet to see a Seahawks jersey. However, I've seen plenty of people in Cardinals gear, plenty of Larry Fitzgerald jerseys, and there's been quite a good amount of Saguaro Football High School t-shirts and gear, which, come to find out, Joe and his family at their deli feeds the football team every Friday night before their game.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, they've been a huge supporter since they opened the deli in 1977 of Saguaro's high school football team. And I think two Cardinals, D.J. Foster and Christian Kirk, played
Correct.
Football at Saguaro. So are they going to be out there today, too, or is Larry going to show up?
Yeah, so it's kind of a waiting game right now. There's plenty of people here not only waiting in line to get free food, but also to see all these Cardinals players, as well as some alumni from the high school right up the road. But also people are just kind of hanging out, listening to music, and talking to Joe and his family. Because it's definitely, you get that vibe of this is a locally owned little shop, and everybody, the owners know everybody that walks in that door, and they know these Cardinal players. Like, they're their own kids. It's pretty cool.
Doesn't like Fitz and DJ Foster and Christian Kirk, shouldn't they be practicing? I mean, that was a tough game on Sunday.
Everybody needs lunch.
I'm just saying. You might want to watch a little film instead of going out for lunch. Jeez. I'm just saying.
Yeah, maybe Joe can give some pointers. He's 79. He's been around for a long time. He's seen a lot of football. Maybe he can help the team.
I think he could be our new offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Allie Vetner is joining us. She's down at the deli where Joe, unfortunately, has terminal cancer. Hey, Allie, you know why I think Fitz did this, honestly? Not only because he's a great guy, I think, and I know that the money is going to go help the family with the bills. I think Fitzgerald did this to give the guy a thrill of a life. I mean, really, this is a thrill of a lifetime for somebody. Larry Fitzgerald has packed this man's deli on one day, and I think this man kind of feels the love. I think Fitzgerald gave him a day he's never going to forget. I think it's just an awesome, awesome thing.
Without a doubt. I mean, I was speaking to Joe earlier, and I was like, what does it mean to see the entire sidewalk filled with these people, let alone your entire deli? And he told me tomorrow he plans on shining Larry Fitzgerald's shoes to thank him.
Oh, what?
Did he say that jokingly? he joking around. He said, there's nothing I could ever do to thank Larry Fitzgerald for what he's done for not only me and my family, but the community, and I want to shine his shoes to say thanks.
That's amazing.
Allie Vetner, KTAR News reporter at the deli where Larry Fitzgerald is buying everybody lunch, Casella's Deli in Scottsdale.
Allie, roast beef, rye.
Allie's really busy.
Is she busy?
Yeah, she's
okay,
really busy today. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Allie.
Thanks, Allie.
You know, you mentioned why did Larry Fitzgerald do
there
this?
There she goes.
Larry Fitzgerald had a good friend who recently died of cancer, if we remember John McCain.
You think that's why he's doing this?
You know, I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me because we've seen the outpouring of affection for John McCain, and now Larry Fitzgerald is pointing to this man saying, let's support this man in his cancer fight at Granite Reef and McDonald Road there in Scottsdale. It's just, it's a tragic story, but it's also a great story that so many people showed up.
I think so, too. And I think the owner of the deli probably is just... He's just loving this.
He's got to.
I mean, he there's a lot of attention being paid to him today, and there should be. And Fitzgerald put a spotlight on this and really gave the guy a thrill.
I mean,
again, we say it all the time. Larry Fitzgerald, great football player, even better human being. And,
right.
and it is true. And it's hard to – that's you don't meet somebody like that all the time. You really don't. He's a very special individual.
And like I said, Christian Kirk and DJ Foster, teammates, both played football at Saguaro High School, where the Casellas have really, as Allie mentioned, they feed the football team every Friday night.
Yeah. So with a lot of bad news out there, and I know that it's bad news that Casella has terminal cancer, but what a day for him and his family and his business. And Larry Fitzgerald, once again, does a great job of putting a spotlight on something.
Yeah.
All right. Do you think Allie's going to bring us back anything? She got a cannoli.
I think she's going to eat that thing on the way home.
I think she is, too. I think we're not going to get anything.
We're not going to get anything.
All right. Coming up next. Next time you fly United, Mac.
Oh, next time? Like there will be a next time?
Well, not for me, but maybe for you.
Mm.
Next time you fly United, you may miss your flight, even if you're standing at the gate. We'll explain next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
One of the perks of having kids, well, the only perk of having children, is that you get to board early when you fly.
You are awful.
You make sure that that child either looks two or younger than two or does goo goo gaga. So when you roll up at the gate and you see the person there with their crisp uniform and that, you know, little smile on their face, you're like, yeah, we're boarding early. We need to get on the plane early. Thank you very much. And they usually let you on.
It's the only reason you adopted those two kids.
Exactly.
Get on the plane first.
That and the tax bracket breaks.
Very nice.
So anyway. It's one of those things where you scoot by people and they look at you like, oh, how dare you? And I'm like, hey, look at this. Hey, I got kids. Can't talk. Gotta go. Okay, we got a board. Sippy cup. Look out. So why is United Airlines making boarding even more difficult?
Because they're stupid.
They make everything else more difficult, like staying on the plane and keeping your luggage. Now they're going to make it even harder for you to get on the plane.
They kill dogs, too, Mac.
I didn't want to bring that up.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yes.
I mean, you know, nobody kills dogs like United. I'm just saying.
Is that their new slogan?
It should be.
It ain't fly the friendly skies. It's nobody kills dogs like us.
Sorry, it's a fact. And the last one, you know, they put like a little chihuahua up in the overhead compartment.
Boston
that
Terrier,
dog died. Okay, so you're right. They have changed how to board a plane. By the way, I hate United. Did you know that?
I've heard.
At United, we're updating and improving our boarding process.
BS.
Why?
Because you suck.
Because you said so.
No, I didn't.
Now, see, that's a great point.
What?
You said so.
I didn't say anything.
Nobody said anything.
I didn't
Nobody said to United, there's got to be a better way to board than these 1 through 5 zones because the plan they came up with, nobody said, you know what? This is a better way to get people on a plane.
A new 2-lane boarding process means customers stay seated longer.
All right.
Oh, here we go.
So
you got 2 lanes. This is going to get complicated, people. Take notes.
Not 5.
This is going to be... No.
It's
no.
2 lanes.
Those were zones.
Oh.
Now you have lanes that you have to get... So you have to decide whether you're in lane 1.
How do I know I'm in lane 1?
Great point.
Did it say on your thing?
Well, I it says it's simplified, but...
Do people in lane 1 have dogs so they can kiss them goodbye? Oh, jeez.
Man, that's a great point. I don't know.
And can kick back and relax until their group is called.
It's not that easy.
No.
Come on.
A new 2-lane boarding process means customers stay seated longer and can kick back and relax until their group is called. Fewer lanes equals more space. And that means less crowding and a lot less stress.
All right, let me just read this. This is how it goes, okay? So the 5 boarding lanes are gone. That's the previous process.
No, the 5,
five
zones.
5 boarding lines. Zones, lines.
Right.
Okay, here's the new part. Follow me. Are you ready? Now they have a new 2-lane.
Right.
It's color-coded. It will handle a staggered boarding call. The lanes will be numbered 1 and 2. Beyond that, lane 1 is the blue lane, while lane 2 is green.
All right, you lost me.
When it's time to board, United will pre-board what's open to the top tier. And they board via lane one. Next comes group one.
Okay.
I don't know if that's part of green lane two or blue lane one.
How do I know what color I am?
I don't know. But you're white. It's very. Next comes group one, which includes first and business class customers. Group one also boards through lane one, while group two lines up only in lane two. Now, group two boards once the group one queue clears.
Who is in group two?
Silver level frequent flyers and certain United credit card holders. Now, Becky Lynn, travelers in group three, four, and five will be asked to remain seated while the first two group lines are to board. Now, back to group one and group two. They've already boarded, right? So groups three through five will board through the green-colored
lane two.
And they'll be called by a number.
I thought that was two.
No,
lane
and
two.
It starts with three, and it ends with a five. And then group five will board because it includes mostly basic economy customers.
By the way, we did not make any of this up. We are reading from United's own written documentation.
Then members of group one and two who are still arriving to the gate area will be priority boarding via the blue-colored lane one.
That is,
you're not there when it's time. You should have to wait till the end.
That too. You think this is going to make people sit down and stay in their seat
longer? And
that's longer?
The thing. Everybody gets up and rushes to the door.
That's
at United, we're updating and improving our boarding process. Why? Because you said so.
No, we did not.
Said nothing.
We said stop killing the dogs.
Said stop
and leave
killing
people
animals.
Their seats.
Coming up next. Mm-hmm. A man was arrested for putting his wife on a leash. But after we tell you the whole story, you might actually feel sorry for this man next.